Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, you found us back here again, and we're coming to you on a delightful Friday evening. Yeah, a little switch up this week, obviously, with the NASCAR Sprint Cup race coming to us on Saturday evening. Then, of course, we switch it up and change our schedule to try to conform with that, and we come to you on Friday evening. So, welcome into the Frat House Sports Garage, and grab yourself a chair. There is some pizza available. We have cold beers available for you as well, so feel free to help yourself to a slice, and we'll pour you out a nice cold one here. And I'll just take this couple of minutes to just remind everybody that we are going to have an additional just two more Fridays through the end of the year. Where we'll be coming to you rather than our normal Sunday, you know, morning or Sunday at noon time. That's generally how we like to do it. But when NASCAR switches up and they have the evening races, then, as I say, we try to adjust as well. So I am going to let you know that in September, about a month from now, we will be coming ahead of the Richmond race, which will be a Saturday night race. So that'll be a Friday in September that we'll be joining you, and then we will join you just about a month later, Friday in October as well, ahead of the Charlotte race. So I'll keep you apprised, and we'll remind you as we go forward. But here we are on a Friday evening, TGIF, and boy, is there a lot of stuff that kind of went on this week. The silly season has officially kicked off now. I think we can safely say that it is starting to get interesting. On the one hand, of course, we heard, I guess, what a lot of us assumed was coming down the road. We had speculated on it here for quite some time. When was Danica Patrick going to re-sign with Stuart Haas? Who was going to go ahead and replace the GoDaddy as the primary sponsor? Well, all of that kind of came into focus this week, as we heard. New sponsor come on board for the 10 car. And Stuart Haas going forward. And then on the flip side, like the complete opposite end of the spectrum, we heard essentially that, you know, calamity for the Michael Waltrip group. We knew that Rob Kaufman was pulling up stakes and he was choosing to buy in with Chip Ganassi. We got some clarity this week on how that's going to work as far as Kaufman is concerned. But, you know, simultaneously, we heard essentially sort of a mixed bag of nuts. Clint Bowyer is not probably going to CGR. He's going to become a free agent. He's only 8 months into an extension he signed on with Michael Waltrip Racing. So, boy, talk about awkward. So he's running for, I guess, literally his life now. If he can get a win and get into the chase, I guess that's better news for him. Certainly David Reagan, part of that Michael Waltrip group as well, sits twisting in the wind in limbo. He too, my goodness, if he could find himself a way to win, oh boy, wouldn't that do great things for him in trying to establish and grab a sponsor and maybe a full-time seat next year. And, of course, we don't really even know what's going to become of Mikey and Mikey Waltrip Racing. He's going to stay with Fox and essentially hinted at, I guess, the idea that everything is for sale there in North Carolina as far as the Michael Waltrip group is concerned. So we've got that to discuss as well. Feel free to climb in if you have thoughts on the silly season. Feel free to share them with us, 347 826-9964. You can do that. Pick up the phone and give us a call. 347-826-9964. You can hit us up on Skype if you like as well. What else can we do? Let's go ahead and open up the chat room. Okay, I've got the chat room open. If you want to leave comments over there and chat, why, you can feel free to do that as well. Now, at this point, before we go too much further, we're going to bring in our usuals. I believe I've got my crew chief with me, Brandon, on the line. I'm hopeful that Brandon, yes your,
yeah,
vocal cords, your vocal cords are going to be okay for about 60 minutes or so.
It's a lot better than last night, I'll tell you that.
You actually sounded good last night, though. I'm not sure if you may not, maybe you didn't go back and listen. I listened to the show again today, and actually you sounded pretty good last night. I'm sure you didn't, but you've been under the weather, so you're going to brave on with us and try and keep us going tonight. About 60 minutes, a little longer. We're going to let Fred House Mike have some time tonight because he's going to chat some NHRA stuff with us. And also our pilot, Sidekick, I believe. Sidekick, you are on the line. Yes, sir. No, sir. Do you have a copy?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear me? Sorry, I'm sorry. I got in a little late to the show. I got problems getting through, you know, my pre-race inspections.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. You know, and we're going to have to take away some practice time for that now.
Well, I'm trying a new setup for this week, and you know, so I went out and I procured a new laptop, Windows 10, you know, all nice, spanky, touchscreen, and all this cool stuff. And this is my first time trying to use it, so, you know, I ran into little difficulties. So, but I think, you know, as long as you can hear me all right, I think we're good to go.
Absolutely. I can hear you fine. You're okay with that, Brandon? You're hearing him pretty good,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, he sounds good. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, I thought so. Right. I mean, that's great. This is the biggest new thing since... I guess Brian France talked about glass dashboards. So that's outstanding. Outstanding. It's so nice to have you with us for sure. And I guess did you hear that? Well, I'm sure you did, that Danica Patrick does have a new sponsor. And it was released this week that her new sponsor. Yep, absolutely. Yep. I think that's just fantastic.
I'm sorry. Did you say yeast?
Yeah, there, yeah, go.
Released or yeast?
Yeah, right, yeast. Mm-hmm. We're gonna... Let's get it started early, folks. 3-4-2-6-9-9-6-4, yeah.
We're baking here. Got buns in the oven and...
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's all good nature.
Yeah, it surely is. You know, I don't know. Is there any truth to the rumor that they're like $34 a box to buy Fig Newtons from this company? I mean, come on, really? I mean, I think that's essentially what they make, right? They make Fig Newtons. They make cookies, right? I looked on the website. I didn't see much else happening with this nature bakery or natural bakery. What is? Isn't that terrible? I don't even know what the sponsor is. I couldn't be less interested in a funny way.
I think they're like a healthy bakery.
Oh, all natural kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're fig cookies. That's what they are. They have like four or five or six variety, but essentially it's like we're going to make fig taste like raspberries. Oh, we'll make fig taste like blueberries. Oh, we'll make figs taste like apricots. But they really only have one product that I see at this point. Now, I guess they're going to roll into more products. You know what? I don't understand.
They're going to make figs taste like Danica.
How are they able to even have the kind of money to sponsor her vehicle? I would think that's a tremendous. I mean, you know, you're talking tens of millions of dollars, right?
Well, they may be. They may be in like natural health food stores. You don't know. They may be like at the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they have a good deal where they're, you know, distributing, you know, enough product, you know,
right.
Maybe they're one of the leaders in the natural cookie area.
Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, well, I did go to their website, and I wanted to see what all they had, and I kind of anticipated maybe there would be sort of like a menu, like, oh, well, okay, look, here, they're into this, and they're into that, and they're into this, and they're into that, but really, essentially, they have kind of one item, and then there's a variety of the item in terms of flavor and that, but it's essentially a one-item sort of thing, and I'm just surprised that a company of that sort of size is going after the entire sponsorship of a cup car. I mean, wow.
Well, they're only the main sponsor for 28 races.
Well, that's a pretty good chunk, though, you figure.
Yeah, it's a good chunk of the season.
You figure that's the whole season if you take the chase essentially out of it, which is the last
right.
10. You know, you figure 26, 36. I mean, essentially, they're covering like a whole, almost a whole season. And I guess what Aspen Dental and a couple others will kind of patchwork and quilt work the rest. But
Pack-Sack, I think, is one of the other ones.
Pack-Sack, right, exactly. You're right. Mm-hmm.
But see, I think where this came about was they set up a B2B agreement between the bakery and Haas Automation.
Right. We learned
for equipment, and
mm-hmm.
that kind of got them into the sponsorship for Danica.
Right.
So, and I believe some of the financial stuff that I read was this company actually is family owned,
mm-hmm.
and they run a really low expense versus
mm-hmm.
profit. So
gotcha.
They've mm-hmm. got a ton of money.
Wow. I mean, it's outstanding. And I'm certainly, I mean, I applaud them. As a startup, obviously, a startup group, you know, the bakery itself, that they're able to, you know, obviously go after, you know, what we used to know as the American dream, which is becoming more and more a nightmare, and they're able to thrive. And then, as you say, you know, with, I guess, a business-to-business relationship, perhaps a barter, I guess, you know, or they're obviously trading something in kind. You know, obviously there's some in-kind trading as well, that they're going to be able to sponsor her car. I mean, I think that is just tremendous from a small business standpoint. And I guess that's our dream here at Frat House Sports. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could find, you know, Frat House Sports, you know, we blew up, we mushroomed, people finally saw how good the product is that, you know, comes from under our dormer, and they would say, wow, you know what, let's get that out there, and we could sponsor her. I mean, that would be awesome.
I would love to sponsor
Danica. NHRA even. Wouldn't even have to be NASCAR.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I mean, right, you know, that would be our wish list for sure. Now, obviously, okay, this is good for, it's good for Danica and all. I don't know, a lot of people say, this is great for NASCAR. What's your take on that, either of you? Is it necessarily great for NASCAR that Danica has a new sponsor and she's going to race next year? Is that, I mean, as opposed to, I guess, Michael Waltrip Racing closing, well, you don't want to see a race shop close. So I guess, I mean, in one sense, I guess, it's a silly question for me to ask. Obviously, you want to see somebody renew, and you don't want to see somebody close. But really, Danica, I mean, I don't know. Is this?
I'm going to probably be against the grain here, but I think it's very good. She's
mm-hmm.
always either first or second in most popular driver. She puts a lot of females in the seats, and
mm-hmm.
you know, sparks interest, which they
mm-hmm.
need. They need better attendance and better ratings on television. I don't know that she's the greatest driver, and I don't think anybody
mm-hmm.
thinks she is, but she certainly, you know, fills a demographic. And for NASCAR, I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's actually a win-win situation for Danica, Stewart Haas Racing, and for the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, because obviously the bakery's going to get huge exposure for this.
Without a doubt, yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they probably are the
right.
biggest winner in this. But, you know, at the same time, it keeps Danica, it's Stewart Haas, it,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeps the sponsorship money there, which we know is, you know, potentially tight in NASCAR. So, you know, and it helps out, you know, it helps out Stuart Haas. So I see it as a good thing. I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest Danica fan in the world, but you know, it's, you know, it's good for business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, obviously, I was able to see, and you gentlemen probably saw, or if you chose to, you probably saw on replay and through clips, you know, part of the press conference that was covered. It was actually streamed live on, you know, NASCAR.com. So I actually did pull it up. I remember to. And I pulled it up. I didn't sit for the entire of it, but I sat for the beginning of it. And I guess what struck me was, obviously, you know, Tony Stewart was relieved, I think. He was relieved. He was happy to announce this was happening. It also struck me that, I guess more and more, Stewart is starting to embrace the idea that, hey, man, you know, I'm the boss. And, you know, all of these drivers, you know, whether it be the 41, the 10, you know, the 4, they all reflect. You know, the 14, he's very critical of himself driving the 14. They all reflect back on the team. And it struck me that he seemed somewhat, I mean, he's obviously proud. I mean, and I can understand that as a team owner. He's proud to announce, hey, listen, she's staying with us. This is a beautiful thing. Here comes a brand new sponsor. It's great for them, too. Now, I'll segue that into some of the discussion with the Michael Waltrip story from the standpoint of, and I found this interesting, I did not know this, and maybe either of you care to comment. There, I guess, has been some chatter that, in fact, if and when the 14 car would become available, that, in fact, Clint Bowyer was considered a candidate to take that seat. Were either of you aware of this? Had you heard that before? Because I found that to be interesting news. And now that story, I kind of read it on like Wednesday and I didn't really react to it, but it seems to have grown some legs now. And I've read more and more about it over the last like 24, 48 hours. Does that surprise either of you, or did either of you have a clue that Clint Bowyer's name would ever be associated with Stuart Haas?
I never heard that one, honestly. I don't see Tony as being ready to quit, though. And barring any, you know, sponsor revolt, I don't think you're going to see Tony Stewart hang it up any, at least not this year. So, you know, unless he would go, I mean, I don't, they can't have a fifth car. And they just renewed Danica, and I'm sure I heard that Kurt Busch was close to signing an extension, so I don't think there's any room, you know, left at the inn, as they say. So I don't think that's too – I don't give that too much credence unless, you know, Tony is considering it. I don't – you know, I haven't heard that. Have you heard that, Sidekick?
Well, I haven't heard that he was the, you know, quote-unquote heir apparent to Tony Stewart. I did hear – some rumblings of the possibility that Clint Bowyer could take the 14 and Tony would retire. There was some of that. I did hear that chatter this week. So, but I didn't realize that. I hadn't seen anything where you know he was like, you know, in the, you know, basically the name on the top of the list to take over for Tony.
Mm-hmm.
So. But
yeah, I found it interesting, and that's why I thought I would run it by both of you. As I say, I've read it now multiple times. The most recent time was Fox. I had read it prior to that, and I don't know. You know, I'm not a big fan of Fox per se, but of course they cover the sport, so you know I do pay attention to what is written there. But theirs was the most recent. Commentary, blog, whatever, article that I read, which indicated, you know, that I'm thinking, wow, from the 15 to the 14, that's very interesting. That's an interesting dynamic. I guess some of the impetus for it is coming from the standpoint of, you know, Tony Stewart could find himself immeasurably wrapped up in a civil litigation suit now with the Ward family, depending on how that goes. By his own admission, he's not had very good luck this season, although he had hoped to. And reports are, most recently from himself, that he's really unsure if, in fact, he's going to need to have an additional fifth surgery to the leg from the accident 2 years ago. We're not sure if they're going to have to remove the rod or they're going to leave the rod in place, which is down, I guess, through the bottom of his leg into the ankle area. So there's a lot of uncertainty, in other words, in terms of Tony Stewart going forward anyway. And I kind of hinted at it last week that, you know, it's going to take a lot for him to weather the storm if, in fact, he wants to push back against the civil lawsuit. And if he does, I think it's going to require, I mean, a lot of his attention. That being said, I could understand where the seat could become vacant. I had never seen an opportunity for somebody like Clint Boyer to go that direction. On the other hand, now we did learn that Clint Boyer is not joining, evidently he's not joining Kaufman over at Chip Ganassi. Interesting that, I don't know. Any ideas? Anybody want to speculate? Where do you see Boyer going? Is he going to, like, I read in another article, H. Scott Motorsport might be interested in taking him. They currently have Allgaier. They currently have Michael Annette signed on. There seemed
yeah,
to be
I don't
some,
see.
There was some
I don't
chat
see
this
that
week.
One.
No, you don't
the
see
one
that
I
happen.
Heard, the one I heard, apparently, on an airplane ride back from one of the races, Martin Truex Jr. was seriously recruiting him to become a number two driver with Front Row. And here's what I saw that really kind of lines it up. Prior to Kaufman's announcement, Toyota already informed MWR that they were cut off. They weren't getting any more help.
Right.
They were done.
Correct. Right.
And
correct.
Front Row, obviously, is the leading candidate to replace it. They want to at least have two there. And they're as far as I understood from TRD, you know, they had engines for two more. So there still could be more to come from that story. So, you know, if Truex Jr. and Clint Boyer were teammates at MWR,
sure.
when MWR
yep.
worked
yep.
well together, so
yep.
they might have a good relationship, you know, as far as being teammates. So
sure.
that makes
You're
sense.
Right.
Now, whether it
no.
happens or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we had seen a tweet picture, and real quick, and I'll let you in there, Psychic. We had seen a tweeted out picture maybe 6 weeks ago, showed the 78 car in the facility of Michael Waltrip Racing alongside the 15 car. And as I said, this maybe had been 5, 6, 7 weeks ago. And I remember it created quite a stir because everybody said, oh, look at that. Look at that. And this was right around the time that Barney Visser was talking about, hey, you know what? We've got to make a move here with Furniture Row. We're really not sure what we're going to do because Chevy's actually not coming across for us. So, you know, maybe, you know, we're looking at all our options. Then we started here, oh, TRD's interested. We're trying to get Furniture Row over to their side. So out comes this tweeted picture. Turns out that, in fact, Michael Waltrip Racing was allowing the East Coast satellite of Furniture Row work out of the Michael Waltrip Racing facility primarily for, what would I say, practice time, I guess, for their pit crews. It wasn't any other sharing of information because obviously you had Toyota and you had Chevy. So they weren't sharing information. But evidently, Michael Waltrip Racing has somewhat maintained a relationship to Martin Truex Jr. in spite of the fact that Martin Truex Jr. Kind of got the shaft. So, you know, there was kind of that intrigue as well. So, and that kind of falls into your line of thinking there as well, Brandon, that maybe, you know, hey, who knows, maybe Boyer will wind up over there. And it'll be Toyota with the 78, and who knows, maybe, I don't know, the 15 as well. I'll throw it back to both of you and Sidekick as well. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask a follow-up question. Is there any talk that Front Row wants to permanently move east instead of staying out in Colorado? Because if that's the case, that NWR shop's ready to roll. You know, fully equipped, good shop.
And for sale,
apparently.
Evidently so.
If you want to play connect the dots even further, right. You know, maybe it'll be a, you know, Front Row Motorsports in the old same shop with Toyota and, you know, Clint Boyer and Truex together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It kind of all lines up. What do you think, Sidekick?
Well, you know, it's interesting how all this stuff kind of fits together, doesn't it? Like, you know, you start hearing, oh, well, you know, Kaufman's going here and this, that, and, you know. Well, then it comes out that, well, you know, Front Row's actually been housing Truex on the East Coast for training purposes and stuff. So, you know, it all kind of gets interesting. You know, and I, you know, earlier in the week we were discussing this on Facebook, and I said Front Row Sports, the wayward home, or the home for wayward drivers, you know. When drivers get ousted, the Front Row's there to pick them up. Yeah, they picked up Kurt Busch, mm-hmm. You know. Then they pick up Martin Truex Jr. after he got shafted, you know. And now you got Clint Boyer, and now there's all this speculation about Clint Boyer going to Front Row as the second team, and them going to Toyota, which, you know, when you lay that all out, it makes perfect sense, and it sounds like it fits all together real pretty, like, but. You know, some of the other chatter that I've heard this week is that the Cat in the Hat should swoop in and try to pick up Clint. That he could use some, you know, some leadership over there.
Would Clint Boyer want to go to Ford?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. If the Cat in the Hat wanted to do the right thing, he would go back and grab up Reagan, who wound up without a seat as a result. Go way back in history, and you know it was Reagan that wound up getting shafted from Roush to begin with. So if he wanted to do the right thing, I think what he should do is he wants to go back and grab up David Reagan, because I think that kid at 29 years old, and I thought it was, you want to talk about racing balls to the wall, I thought his comments were balls to the wall. You know what, I'm 29 years old and I've got a great future ahead of me, and I would love to see David Reagan get saved, because as far as I'm concerned, he's sort of in the seat right now that Truex was in back in 2012 or 2013,
right,
with the Richmond spin, and coming out looking like, you know, he's got egg on his face, and that's a shame because he doesn't deserve it.
No, and he qualified well today. He qualified fifth.
Dude, it's all Toyotas.
You know,
I thought it was awesome.
I know.
Like all Toyotas up there. I couldn't believe it.
But, you know, okay. You know, let's be honest. David Reagan isn't a top-tier driver, okay? But this kid, he's a solid mid-tier racer. He brings the equipment home usually. He talks nice. You know, he's a good guy, a good company man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he busts his tail. He works his hardest. You know, that kid at 29, he needs to be in a ride. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If any team's going to pick him up, you know, it will be great for that team. So, you know, I think he's definitely deserving of a ride. Versus some of these other guys that we got out there, yeah, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, and, you know, I mean, you know, call me just, you know, I guess call me whatever name you want to call me. But, I mean, there you go. You got, you know, Danica Patrick's automatically guaranteed a ride. We're just going to give it to her. She doesn't have to worry. Hey, she don't make the chase, it don't matter. Hey, she runs 40th every week. Doesn't matter. She's got a ride. She's great for the sport. See, that's where I have problems reconciling the books when I start to look at situations like this, where here's a kid like David Reagan who actually does compete for race wins. And he's possibly sitting without a ride, helmet in hand next year. but I'll make sure that token female, oh, let's make sure we keep her in there. Is she any good? Oh, who cares? Who cares? It's a gal. It's a gal. She's good for the sport. Poppycock.
Well, you know, it's, well, you know, it's funny.
That's what I say. Poppycock.
Friend of the show, Linda, she will be quick to point out that she's currently higher in the points right now than her boss, Tony Stewart.
Okay, that's very true. That's very true.
You know, she's having a quiet, good year. You know, she's not, you know, I don't think she's making the chase, but she's improving.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just leave it there.
Right. Yeah. Poppycock.
Exactly.
All right. Well, if anybody's out there and you're listening to us, please feel free to climb aboard with us. We are 30 minutes in. We are running until about 8:30 tonight. 347-826-9964. We will be chatting some NHRA. The Heats are going to be hitting up this weekend in Brainerd, Minnesota. And, of course, we'll be bringing our own frat house mic on to chat some NHRA. He's going to be giving us warm-up chat this week. Obviously, if we come to you on Sundays, he can kind of give us a ladder and a leaderboard, but we're not going to be able to do any of that because they're really just getting underway themselves. But we will be joined by our own frat house mic this evening for that. What we could do, I guess we could revisit, gentlemen, last week's race win. Kind of a surprise to suddenly see Matt Kenseth from Joe Gibbs Racing. He has supplanted Kyle Busch. So it's the same race garage, fellas, but you know, it's just another driver all at once. This guy's got 2 wins in 3 weeks. Go figure it out. I mean, outstanding. He's got his third win. This was his third win last week at MIS, which is actually very good. He's got 4 at Bristol, and that's his winningest track. And, of course, that's where we are this week.
Well, and let me go one further.
Yeah,
he
go
won.
Ahead.
He Top won this. The spring race here.
Yes, there you go. There you go. And I believe he won it from the pole. If I recall correctly.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, you're right. We can just keep kind of piling it on. You know, and then I guess a couple of more things that kind of jumped out at me. It was a great weekend last weekend at MIS for Toyota, and it was a great weekend for the sponsor, which was Dollar General at the Irish Hills, because, well, didn't we see that Kyle Busch run a Toyota truck with the Dollar General sponsor and win that thing on Saturday afternoon? So, my goodness gracious, boy, it's my goodness. Holy crow. NASCAR is so incestuous.
It's been that way for a long time.
Yeah, right, for a long, long time. Yeah, this is nothing new, Uncle Mark. Where the hell you been? What did we know about it? It was heat and humidity last week, right, guys? It was 150 degrees plus in the cabin. We saw some of that. And listen, WTF with competition cautions. Are we done with competition cautions? Can we stop this already? Does anybody have a thought? I don't even know. Why did we even have that silly competition caution at the start of the race last week? Was that
honestly,
just
I don't know. I'm right? not sure. There was no weather or anything.
We have a new package in place. We better have a competition caution. What?
Oh, is that what they
Stop
used?
It.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking, Brandon. I don't even remember hearing what the cause was. Do you know,
no.
Sidekick?
No.
Is that what it was? Because they had the high drag and they weren't sure what? Huh? Oh, please.
Well, you know, I understand it. You know, you want to give the guys a chance to stop and look at their vehicle instead of going, well, I don't think things are right, but there's no caution, so we got to keep running, and then something happens and you're hitting jet dryers and stuff.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I don't know. That's marginal at best. I would marginally give that a pass at best. As far as I'm concerned, you've had all this practice time, you've had your qualifying event. I mean, you've been on the track. If you don't know if your car is right, well, shame on you. I don't. Yeah, to me, competition caution, I just see that as a lot of kerfuffle. I just see that as NASCAR meddling. Look, it's all neat. Let's get our hands in there and mess all up into it. To me, I think competition caution. I call it fraud. I call it out as bullshit. Oh, pardon me.
There you go.
Last week,
there goes the rating.
Yeah, right. Down the tubes. Right down the tubes. But hey, you know, that's how I feel. What we did see last week was with this high drag thing. Quality passes, of course, were non-existent. The relative fun that we did seem to enjoy, in my opinion, was when we had the restarts, because the restarts were crazy, and of course everybody fanned out. But that only lasted for like one lap. Clean air remained the king. I mean, no doubt about it. Kenseth, we saw he led 146 laps of 200. My goodness. What was fun was, I guess, the fact that some drivers on the back end of the race, some drivers were like careful to be not critical. You know, and it led people to wonder, you know, did NASCAR tell them all, hey, listen, no matter what happens at the end of this, don't say anything nasty, because if you do, we're going to come into your garage and we're taking away all of your tire pressure gauges. So makes you wonder. Other guys were out and out, like, sort of open about it. Keselowski basically said, you know what, hey, quote, it's not my deal, man. It's not my right to say. It's not my sport. That was his take on, hey, what'd you think of, you know, that high drag package? Now, when they asked Harvick, of course, he said, you know, he's Mr. Vanilla. He's going to be Mr., you know, I'm champion. I'm going to say the right thing. What did he say about the package? Well, you know what? I'm really proud of my team and the things that they did. Are you serious? So some guys went out of their way not to say anything. Other guys like Truex, who we do like, because he tends to be a little more, you know, real. Hey, so damn hard to pass. I could run a guy down from way back and get to him and about spin out. It's no fun to race like that. Logano, in answer, hey, how'd you like the package? Would you try it again? No. That was his answer. And, of course, Edwards, who we've heard before, essentially said, listen, if this is worse and Kentucky is better, then let's keep going in that direction. So what do we know? What we do know is that we're not going to see this package again for the rest of the year, right? We're going to keep the 2015 package of rules that we ran the majority of the year with. However, we still have Darlington out there next week. So there's one more chance on, of course, that's not a mile and a half. It's close, though, right? It's a mile and a third, something like that, Darlington. It's very close in specs to the cookie cutters. We will at least have the Kentucky package back one more race, and that'll be next week when we go to Darlington. But essentially, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't a very, not too exciting, right? Not too exciting. Apart from Austin Dillon, there really wasn't much to talk about.
No, it was kind of a vanilla race. I will say this, package should make Darlington, which is already normally one of the most interesting ones, even more. Because they're already on the edge of control. You know, they always talk about the Darlington stripe, how they have to run so high there and, they're in the wall. If they're driving a car half out of control to start with, look out. It could end up being a demolition derby, though, we're done.
I kind of hope not. I do, too.
I think that makes for a bad race, personally.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, yeah, too many racks is not fun. What say you, Sidekick? You know, we do have Darlington next week. We're keeping the package, though, essentially, as we've seen it. And, you know, the dominance of mile and a half has been really Chevrolet all year. You know, a couple times Ford has done it. Toyota was not that strong earlier in the year. As we go back and we revert to the old rules package, and we go to the, you know, there's what, five cookie cutters on the chase. TRD may fall off, right? What do you think? What's your anticipation for the chase? Any?
Well, let me say this one comment, though. There's never too many wrecks in a race until it's your driver.
Exactly.
And then it's one too many.
Oh, boy, then it is. You're right about that. You are absolutely right about that.
And, you know, as far as you look at Toyota, or not Toyota, but Joe Gibbs Racing, and, man, have they been on fire since Kyle Busch has come back. You know, it was the Kyle show for a while, but now you got Kenseth coming up. Mm-hmm. Edwards seems to be running well now. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Hamlin on the pole for for tonight's, you know, Xfinity race, and tomorrow for, you know, I'm trying to figure out if it's it took them a little while to get going. Is it really that, you know, Kyle's back now and, like, you know, everybody, you know, everybody's really clicking well now, or, you know, what exactly brought on this spur all of a sudden? Because, you know, Fred House Mike always likes to talk about those, you know, pesky Penske's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we can talk about those terrible Toyotas that have been, you know, just week after week. It's like, damn, dude, it's Toyota, Toyota.
Yep. They've been terrorizing.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if they carry this momentum into the chase.
Again, right, because it seemed as though, you know, prior to the tweaking that we saw with some of the, you know, the rules and that, and they've been attempting to change, I guess, tire compounds and some of that stuff as well to try to marry into new packaging. Prior to that, though, you know, Toyota as just a raw horsepower, you know, manufacturer versus manufacturer, they weren't really doing it. So, you know, it always goes to the question of, is it the car or is it the driver? You know, which makes the difference in the race? Because I kind of like the argument that you make there, Sidekick, as far as Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch comes back. He's got an attitude. All at once, he's winning races. Look out. And it's almost as though his attitude and drive, his personal drive, is excellent as compared to what is anticipated from just, you know, the raw horsepower of the car. So, you know, it's a very good point. What do you think? This should be a pretty good TRD week at Bristol, Brandon. It's a short track.
As
Sidekick, I think, mentioned, you got Hamlin on the pole, right? He's a short
track.
Yeah, you
got top three, JGR.
Mm-hmm.
You got, you know, Hamlin, Busch, and Edwards in the top three, and then two more Toyotas after him, I believe.
Got
Reagan
up there.
Boyer's in there.
Right.
And then they're also 1 and 2 tonight on the Xfinity. Hamlin and Busch are 1 and 2 again. So I think Joe Gibbs Racing got their act together right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to, I guess, you know, a little bit of the Michael Waltrip stuff, because you mentioned it before, Brandon, that, you know, TRD essentially had cut off. They have cut off a lot of contact information sharing, possibly with Michael Waltrip, up to, you know, the point of when we officially heard this week, hey, by the way, we're not coming back next year, MWR. We're not running full time, one car, let alone two. But they have been providing engines. We know that has continued. So it's interesting. I mean, if Michael Waltrip Racing has any success going forward, maybe it speaks to the idea, and we heard it at the beginning of the year from Kyle himself, Kyle Busch, when he said, you know what, the fact that Michael Waltrip Racing and Joe Gibbs Racing are not sharing information is just plain stupid. Maybe more of that is starting to come together, and maybe that is as a result of it's become necessary, because Waltrip's like sort of the poor cousin, right? And now we know they're going to be essentially an orphan cousin. If they don't make the chase, I mean, you almost have to wonder, I don't know. I mean, I guess you got to please your sponsor. I guess they'll run every race, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. Not an enviable position to be in, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think MWR has come out, though, and said they're going to try to finish strong. They are going to run every race and do the best they can. So, you know, I don't know that it's unthinkable that they could win a race. I mean, Toyotas are running good. You know, Gibbs is running off the hook, and MWR is right there right now. So, you know, Clint Boyer could snag one. Reagan maybe could get it. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't see Reagan winning at Darlington. You know, if he maybe here, maybe Bristol, other than that.
Right.
But Boyer I've seen run good at Richmond many times. Darlington doesn't seem a long shot for Boyer, so they could still sneak in the chase, at least one of the two.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm kind of looking, right, I'm looking hard at the Richmond. I mean, Richmond also, what is that, three-quarter mile? It's just slightly, right, it's slightly larger than where we are here. Similar banking, right? I believe they both have sort of pretty decent
Richmond's
banking.
Richmond's not as hard as Bristol, though.
No,
it's
okay.
It's kind of halfway. You know what it is? What the best way to describe Richmond? It's like a miniature version of Michigan. It's the same shape and about the same degree of banking. It's
all
not
right,
super high bank, but it's not flat either. It's kind of in between.
Okay.
So it's like a mini Richmond or a mini Michigan, essentially.
Well, it should be fun, and we are looking forward to it. Now, of course, tonight we're going to have the Xfinity thing. Matter of fact, I believe that's probably on now. I do not have the I don't have my TV on down here.
It is on now, and Kyle
Busch
just passed Denny Hamlin for the lead.
Okay.
They're five laps in.
So there you go. So Hamlin from the pole, and Kyle's going to give him a rundown. So that's very cool. What we could do, I guess, we'll just take a quick jump over the pit wall, just for a quick dirty minute, since we're talking about watching races. Interesting. NBC Sports Network. They got Fox Sports One. What we see is that NASCAR, if you want to follow it, you actually have to become dedicated to a cable network. That's really, because that's what it comes down to. Now, next week, we're going to go to Darlington. That's actually going to be housed on NBC proper. That's only going to be the second NBC network telecast of a race this year, amazingly. They've guaranteed, oh, don't worry, we're going to throw more to you in the chase time. That's, oh, boy, NBC, we're lined up. But essentially, NBC Sportsnet is trying to, what? They're trying to essentially establish their own cojones via NASCAR, sort of the way Fox Sports 1 had done it under the Fox umbrella prior. And I sent over a link where, you know, there was discussion about viewership and how viewership is. And when we start to really break down the numbers, and this is one of Frat House Mike's favorite sites. It was from awfulannouncing.com, which is a pretty good source. And essentially what we have found is that, okay, from, you know, I guess 1 year to the next, viewership is possibly up versus the year before, but overall viewership continues to just plummet. I mean, I have a problem. You know, talking about Rob Kaufman, he's talking about, oh, there's business model problems, and we need to franchise teams and get value added to teams going forward. Well, I'll be honest with you, somebody should take that philosophy to Brian France and explain to him that he needs to get value added to NASCAR by bringing it to a broadcaster that'll, you know, broadcast it. Any thoughts? I mean, this whole, I continue to believe that the multi-million-dollar contracts that have been signed with NBC and Fox, ironically, what's killing the sport, because we are hiding it from everybody.
It could be. You could be right onto something, but I think I think that the impetus of this is all these major sports outlets now have to have their own network. You know, FS1 used to be Speed way back, you know, and Fox wanted their own dedicated sports network. NBC Sportsnet used to be Versus. NBC rebranded it as NBC Sports. And CBS has a CBS Sports channel, too. They just don't have any they're not in the NASCAR loop yet. But I guess that, you know, these NBC and Fox are willing to spend the money to, you know, get them, you know, the races. They want the races on those channels. So, you know, I guess that's what we're stuck with, I guess, for now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it will. Yeah, what do you say, Sidekick? Any take on it? I call it bogus. I mean, we're going to give you. We're going to hand you out numbers. Oh, listen. Oh, 4.3 million people sat and watched. Oh, but last year was 5.2 million. But wait a second, that's still up from last year when we showed, bullfighting on this same network. So our network share is up. So look, isn't this great? Well, it's great for these stupid, pointless pilot networks, but it has nothing to do with the sport. It's not helping the sport at all.
And see, I don't know if it's because we're moving them off of, you know, traditional channels over to these sports networks, or if it's just the product that, you know, that NASCAR or the sports stations are putting out. You know, because basically you got all these sports stations that have, you know, come about because everybody wanted to take down ESPN. Yeah, so everybody's got to have their sports network, you know, so that they can compete with ESPN. And so, and they're going up and buying up, you know, MLB, NFL, and all these other things on their sports networks. And you hear people complaining because, hey, I don't get, you know, it's on NBC Sportsnet or it's on this or it's on that. And I don't get it. I haven't actually done the research to see how much that falls out. But all the cable packages I've ever had, I've had Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sportsnet. You know, the worst I saw was, you know, when I was in St. Louis for that extended period of time, you know, out there with U-verse didn't want, AT&T didn't want to pay the extra fee to NASCAR, actually to NASCAR, to air the Xfinity races. You know, so they were blacking out the Xfinity races. You could only get the Sprint Cup races. And, you know, so I don't know how much of it, if that is really, if it's the cable sports network that's really killing the viewership, or is it the product?
Yeah, right. I get you. I get you. And, I mean, I guess that's the thing. We've had so many announcements this week with some of the silly season stuff that's going on, you know, a la Danica Patrick signing on and MWR is going to shutter and everything's going to shut down, that, in fact, you know, it took everybody's attention away from the fact that, you know, that high drag, supposedly lower downforce, but it seemed like it was higher downforce to me, nonsense that we ran at Indianapolis and last week at Michigan. It took everybody's attention away from how bad that was, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, NASCAR, oh, my God, they just want to meddle and get their hands into everything. But see, to me, here is an area that they really should address, and they kind of, like, are completely oblivious to the fact, in my view, that they're actually not, they're not helping out their own cause. They are not helping to bring any new fans into it. They're not attracting, per se, new sponsors. I don't get it. You know, to me, that's what they should be paying attention to, and they should allow guys in the garage and engineers and people that are brilliant that want to create and race fast race cars, go and do that. And all they need to do is broker a way to have a location, a date, and a time for those guys to go, you know, race cars. I don't know. I must be thinking about it too deeply. Hey,
like I am about fantasy football drafting, right?
Yeah, right, dude. Yeah, right. Who are your keepers? What I'm going to do, we're going to bring
I'm
in
waiting
our,
until 11:59.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're going to do? 11:59 p.m.? Yeah. You want to see who all those keepers are? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's bring in our friend of the show, Russell Lovett. Hey, Russell, how are you, Russell? What's good down there in Georgia, buddy?
What's good down here in Georgia? What can you say? We've had rain every day this week, which means a lot of our dirt tracks have been getting some more, which means the dust should stay down. But it's still a good weekend to go get dirty this weekend.
Yeah, man. There you go, man. That's the way you want to do it. That's the way you want to do it. And I'll tell you what, you tell me, actually. The tracks are filling up, right? Folks are coming out. Folks are coming out because why? The price is right. The night is fun. The action is fast. And you're done, right? You're cleaned up. You're done. You've had a full evening, and you're home by what? 11 o'clock at night. And everybody had it, right? Everybody had a good time.
You are so right. A lot of tracks they've been pushing lately to try to get everything done, say, in a four-hour span, get in, get the cars practice, hot laps. Be leaving by, say, 11, 12 o'clock. Some drivers have been coming down. Like my local track, Swainsboro and Cochran, they've been having guys come 2-3 hours away to race, or they've been on some good shows. It's like this week. I'm planning on going to MODOK Speedway up in MODOK, South Carolina. They've got a big Georgia versus Carolina Craig Lake model shootout in a 1500 to win Southern Outlaw Super Street race plus 1,000 in a pure stock class. And this is a track I haven't been to in about 30 years, which is about to give my age up. But I'm going there to be like a reunion race for me. But to go to a track you haven't been to when you hadn't been to since you say 15, 18 years old, when you use a guy sitting on a little paper called Breaking News, it'd be just like a reunion for you to go there.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And I'll be looking for pictures, because if you go there, I'm sure you're going to snap some photos and hopefully you put them up on your Facebook account, because I do like I see your posts pretty regular, and I do like the pictures when you do put them up there. So listen, you know, just in the world of NASCAR, Danica's re-signed. This is a beautiful thing, right? I mean, that's what NASCAR needs to do. There's nothing else more important than making sure we get Danica signed again, right? That's the savior of the sport right there, huh? Come on.
Oh, yeah, I know you're not wanting my views on this one here. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody wanted it. Here we go. Y'all asked for it, so you're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth. Okay. I've said it for years and years on end. Why is Daddy come up, pour it out? I can tell you why. They was probably to the point of being broke and paying for all the costs she's done already. They couldn't afford to keep the sponsorship going. Nature's Bakery, I will admit, they do have a bakery down in Dublin, Georgia. They're part of what they're called Tasty Cakes, and they make a lot of the bread for like the Flash Foods, and they also make the Captain John's Earth bread. Yeah.
Okay.
But to me, if I will say it time and time again, and these two girls are proving it, Joanna Long and Jennifer Jo Cobb, when they have racing, the few Xfinity races they have been able to race in where they didn't have to ride and park, they always finished ahead of Danica in their races. To me, that money should have gone to one of them two ladies, because they deserved it more than everything. I know Dale Jr. is looking at Joanna Long, and I hope he pulls her up and brings her into the Xfinity side.
Absolutely. You know what? I got to agree with you right there. You know, stop right there, because you're right about that, Russell. He did make some kind comments, Junior, and when he did, I really thought it was outstanding that he did that, and I think Joanna Long deserves a shot, because I agree, that girl, if you put her behind the wheel, that girl can race, and I think it's outstanding to get like her a shot at the big ride, at the big time. You know, we understand now. I mean, this Danica Patrick, it don't matter. You know, she puts on her Yogi Bear yoga pants. She does her Instagram account, and all at once, this is a success. This is a success. It has nothing to do with racing. It has nothing to do with anything. But oh,
I'm reading article after article and blog after blog telling me, trying to tell me and convince me how this is great for the sport. And I just, I continue to say poppycock.
I have to agree. I mean, it's like I've said, they have raced, Jennifer Jo Cobb and Joanne Long have both raced in the Xfinity Series and in Truck Series race and have proven themselves time and time again that they're there for the big ride. A lot of people don't realize they're just like some of these NASCAR teams that are riding in there with just a number on the cars that are very good sponsors and they're doing all they can race for race. Well, it's the same way for them, the Xfinity races, to try to make what few races they can. But them two girls have proved herself for years on end before Danica ever even got to ride into the NASCAR Cup car. These two girls have been proving themselves long before then. Danica was still running open where these girls were making big headlines or should have been getting the headlines back then in their Xfinity trucks. Not to mention Joanna Long has also won her late model points here down in New Smyrna again for the second, third year in a row as a female driver racing it, so she's done more to improve herself.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but is Jennifer Jo Cobb, she's basically sponsoring her own truck.
She's owner-operator. You better believe it.
Yep. It's all her money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've caught a lot of flack because I've been on the, you know, hate Danica bandwagon. But my thing is, it's not about women in racing. It's Danica. You know, I want to see the Jennifer Jo Cobbs and the Joanne Long come up here into the Sprint Cup Series and run with Danica.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like you. It's not a Danica hater. It's just respect to where it should be, should always be. The sport needs to look at who's been there running the longest rather than just to take somebody out of something like an open-wheel car, road rally car, whatever, and put them in a cup car just because they're marketing in one area. Marketing may put money in your pockets, but in the long run, when they crash a lot, that money is made off the marketing is slowly being spent to repair everything with. It's not all about the market. NASCAR needs to start looking at talent instead of market if they want to keep themselves around because they're more to keep trying to make the money and the way they're cutting things, their fans are following. Yeah, they may have had $4 million or so last year to the $5 million ahead of the year, but yeah, they had more than bull ride.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, statistics show straight up. If you go back and look at some of the Mimi posters that are around, and it shows some of the truth in it. Dirt track racing is really and truly produces more fans than NASCAR, NFL, NHL, hockey, and all those combined. If you count all the fans there on a Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
Think about what kind of viewership they would be there if they were to probably run more dirt with the cars, maybe open the dirt cars some more. Go back to the old dirt race like you used to do back in the day when they used to run over Thorpe Speedway down in Savannah back in the old days of NASCAR. Maybe they need to realize what lies with them and quit. Yes, everything's got to be business, but you also got to make it where the fans are going to want to see it, and that's something they're getting away from, and I think they don't watch it, they're going to kill the sport, and they can't blame nobody but them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think of, I think of these youngsters that we've seen. Now, you know, let's not forget, we just lost a giant, right? We lost the gentle giant, Buddy Baker. Now, we've almost, you know, I guess it seems almost passe now. Oh, that's right. Buddy Baker. Everybody had nothing but great things to say about the guy. Now he's gone and he's in his grave a week and we kind of forgot about him. Well, I think real true racing fans don't forget a guy like a Buddy Baker, or a Bobby Allison or a Curtis Turner or a Dale Earnhardt Sr. because those are the guys that helped to forge the sport. And let's not forget that those guys were rough, hard driving, and that's what helped build the sport. It wasn't yoga pants, and it wasn't Instagram, and it wasn't Facebooking back then. I mean, it was real, like we say here, balls to the wall racing. And then we do have youngsters coming up. We mentioned a couple of the gals, but you know, another name that kind of jumps out to me is Caleb Holman. Out of Abington, Virginia. Now, here's a young kid. He's trying to break into the next level. And if he has a wreck, he's the guy. He's the youngster that goes to the garage and with a crew chief grabs a wrench and says, all right, we got to repair this truck because we got to get this thing on the road because we're going to be out to, well, we're going to go down and we're going to see Russell Lovett in Georgia next week.
So we got to make sure we get this thing on a trailer, that it's up and running, and we're going to be racing next week. And see, that's the purist, right? That's the purist in all of us that like the sport that would say, wow, yeah, man, that's what gets you in your blood. This other stuff of Danica, whether or not she gets a sponsor, you know, there's part of me that was just hoping that she probably wouldn't get a sponsor because I wanted to see what would happen. Now, here on the flip side, what do you think, Russell? Where are we going to see Clint Bowyer? Is Clint Bowyer going to drive a Ford, do you think, next year? I know you're a Ford guy.
Yeah, you're right about being the Ford guy. That I am. And to me, that was Michael Waltrip Racing. Yeah, it is kind of bad. He's done good trying to fill the cars he had. I got a feeling just he wasn't making enough being the announcer up there. So I guess him having to share the pay with Darrell and all those others, he just wasn't making the money he needed to be able to keep them going. And I feel sorry for Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer's been having good runs with the car, and so has David Reagan and Mark Trucks and all. They've been working hard for him to do what they can do. And it's a shame that somebody this is another one of these kind of small teams operating off kind of big budgets to try to do these shows. It's showing that even though they've got these corporate sponsors, it's just still not enough to compete with the Joe Gibbs, the Richard Childress, the Rick Hendricks and all. Nashville needs to realize that they've got to get it somehow to where they can make everybody competitive. Because if not, they're going to keep losing more and more of these guys, and before long, the top 20, I would say, going to probably end up being people that might be able to make every race, because it's just going to be these 4 or 5 car teams, and everybody else is going to be riding park. And then you're not going to have a race because you didn't have 20 cars having to ride and park every race. You're taking away from it. You've got to figure out a way where they can curb expenses to make it where everybody can race and everybody can be competitive, and it's just not the same 3 or 4 teams week in and week out.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I couldn't agree with you more. Any final thoughts, Brandon? You wanna share? We're gonna probably change direction shortly here and bring in our frat house Mike for an NHRA update. Question or final thought here?
I tend to agree with Russell a little bit on that last point there of these big teams. I mean, the big teams are, you know, constantly winning, the Hendricks and the Stuart Haas and the Gibbs. It's not good for the middle of the road guys like the Jamie McMurray's and Kyle Larson's and Richard Petty Motorsports 2 teams. You know, there's a lot of those, you know, 2-car teams out there that are really struggling right now. You know, and NASCAR took a step towards eliminating the mega teams a couple years ago when they made it from 5 teams to 4. Maybe they need to make a rule saying from 4 cars to 3. Yeah, the big teams are going to complain, cry foul, because they got enough sponsorship to fill the 4 cars. But that kind of thing should make it trickle down to the other cars a little more. So I don't know if that's going to ever happen or not. I mean, Rick Hendrick and Gene Haas and Tony Stewart and Joe Gibbs are going to go screaming and hollering to Brian France if he says you can only have 3 instead of 2. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Hendrick Motorsports is really 8 cars.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not, you know. so there's ways to get around that whole mega team thing, you know.
I guess arguably you could say Childress is, too, for all intent and purpose, when you consider what he's running, and then you throw in the 78 has the Alliance, the 47 car has the Alliance. There might be at least one other out there that has the Alliance with RCR.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with Russell's comments as well. The only thing where I'll differ a little bit is I think really the whole thing, the MWR spiral came out of that 2013 season with that spin at Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they lost Napa, the money started going down.
Yep.
And you know, Kaufman had a presser today,
too.
Yeah, and basically said that. You know, he said, I've been floating this team since 2013.
Yep. It's been my wallet.
You know, and
my wallet.
You know, and said, you know, Mike wasn't really there. You know, and he's going in with Chip Ganassi Racing now, and Chip's in the, you know, Chip's at every race.
Chip runs his garage.
You know, so, you know, I think that was really that whole controversy just basically killed the team, and it just took 2 years for it to find, you know, for that final nail to go in the coffin. And
or
I think that's what.
Maybe Michael saw the writing on the wall and decided he was going to go be a TV star as opposed to running a race team. You know, maybe he knew that that spin and getting caught was going to be the death nail for this team. And he's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to ride this out and become a TV star and spill tacos on people's cars prior to the race.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, they came in ignominiously with the Daytona incident in 2007, obviously, with the unknown, unapproved additive in the fuel cell and all of that. So, unfortunately, he stepped in it, Michael Waltrip, and then he apparently had trouble getting it off of his shoes and proceeded to step in it maybe a second time 6 years later. So, can't blame Kaufman. And eventually you got to stop throwing, I guess, good money after the bad money. Russell, before we let you go, and we do want to thank you for calling in, what's good? What's good at the local track this weekend? What are you going to be watching?
Swainsboro Cochran, they got their regular shows going and everything.
Right.
Those are two big local tracks. Like I said, I'm going at the Modoc Speedway in Modoc, South Carolina.
That's
Cross
great.
Lake Thurman and Clark Hills Lake. Hadn't been there in over 30 years.
That
going
is
there,
so
they
cool.
got a big Great Lake model race. I'm going to go there and watch the action. So what y'all need to do is y'all need to leave North Carolina, meet me over there in Modoc, South Carolina. Tomorrow night, let's let Frat House and Motorsports Weekly meet up.
Wouldn't that be a hoot? Boy, oh boy, if I had my druthers, buddy, I'd be there. You can bet. You can bet. I would hop in a car and I'd come down there and see you. We're going to do that, though. Don't you dare worry. Don't you dare worry. We'll find a way. We'll find a way to hook up with you down there.
We're bringing the Ford down.
Yeah, you better believe it. And that leads to it. Before we let you go, go ahead and make a prediction. Who's going to be the winner this week? What Ford driver do you like for the race this week at Bristol? What do you say, Russell?
Bad thing about Bristol, it's a tough track. It's the paper clip. It's the high bank paper clip. It's just about almost falling. The lady, you got to bump them, or as we call it down here, you're either going to bump them, mock them out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Another term we like to try to use down here is for to kind of knock them out of the way. It's a special kind of bump. The whole thing about it, I can't remember the name of it now, but we've had it. But to me, yeah, I'm not going to really say Ford's going to be able to get this one. They're better in the top five.
Oh, no.
With them Toyotas there.
Uh-huh.
With them Toyotas there, I got to feel it's going to be another Joe Gibbs show, but I just hope it's not Kyle Busch. Maybe Denny Hamlin, if anything. Or Matt Kenseth, again, I'd be happy with.
Yeah, Kenseth is pretty good at this one. He knows how to run the show here. Not a Ford, huh? Don't think it's going to be a Ford? You don't like that Ricky Stenhouse Jr.? Boy, there's the Patrick connection. There's the Danica Patrick connection right there. The guy actually runs good here. Go figure.
Well, see, the thing about it, here's the only problem, like I said. Bristol's kind of narrow. Bristol, like, if they had to go back and put a dirt like it was years ago and they had a big dirt late model race there, that's how Bristol is for some of our dirt tracks around here. They're a half mile, even though they're not really banked. Bristol would be about like Tazewell, Tennessee. It's a half mile high bank track. That would be our Bristol. But the way that Bristol is, there's very little passing. If somebody has a wreck, there's nowhere to go. So unless they have a small, big one at Bristol, to me it's going to be hard to really try to go anywhere because it's so hairpin tight. It's just almost like a follow the leader type of track.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. I agree, and that's why, I don't mind this particular track, because you're right. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see some action. We're going to see some contact. We're going to see some bad tempers. I don't mind that. Beautiful thing. Russell, enjoy your weekend. Thanks always for calling us, buddy. And, of course, feel free to listen to us till the end. We only have about 15 minutes to go. And enjoy your weekend. Absolutely enjoy your weekend, Russell. Always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
All right, you guys too, and I'll be called in later on. You never know what you want to talk to.
Outstanding. Thank you, and enjoy the weekend. There he is, our friend of the show, Russell. He said he was going to call in, and that's cool, he did. All right, we've got about a little over 10 minutes left before we have to really wrap it up. So what I'm going to do at this point, we want to go ahead and bring in our own Frat House Mike. What Frat House Mike is going to do, hopefully, is give us a little bit of a flicker. Yeah, buddy, of what's going to be happening this week at Brainerd, Minnesota.
no ladder, no per se real leaderboard to speak of, but go ahead, Frat House Mike, lay it on us. Let's smell some nitrous.
Yeah, lots of sidebar stories, I can tell you that one. Let's kick it off right here. We'll start it out, a little bit of a sad one. Clay Milliken, Top Fuel driver, lost his 22-year-old son last week. I believe it was last Wednesday. His son, Dalton, died in a single-person motorcycle accident. Right now, but it's, you know, I feel so bad for Clay Milliken. I root for him every darn year. He's come close this year. God bless the man. He is in Brainerd this week, and he is going to race, despite the fact they just had the funeral services just a few days ago for his 22-year-old son. So from all of us here at Frat House Sports, thoughts out to Clay Milliken as he is running this week. In 11th place right now, 103 points out of that 10th place spot in order to make the countdown. Tough story there. The other interesting sidebar story, and you can bet you're going to hear about it a lot this weekend as we watch the coverage over on ESPN2. Brainerd, you might recall, about 5 weeks ago, dealt with some heavy, heavy storms. Straight line wind damage. My goodness, took the entire
grandstand.
Turned it upside down virtually, almost upside down. It was completely, in some cases, completely collapsed over on its side.
Onto the track and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The only way that they were able to get it back into shape, and apparently they have whipped it back into shape, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of NHRA fans from the Brainerd region, Brainerd International Raceway, came to the site and helped get that thing put back together again in time for the Lucas Oil Nationals. Here we are, just two now events from the countdown. Things are getting hot. God bless the people up there in Brainerd, Minnesota, for making sure that that, in fact, absolutely did happen. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 2 weeks now since we've seen any action. 2 weeks ago, we ended up the West Coast swing. How did things end up? Well, here's what we know at this point right now. Pro Stock out there in Seattle, you might recall 2 weeks ago. Pro Stock, hey, I guess good for Erica, but not so good for Erica. Erica wasn't in the final, but what was good for Erica, Greg Anderson wasn't either. But it was Chris McGahey, who right now is third in the point standings. Chris McGahey beat Jake Coughlin. We're going to talk about Jake Coughlin here in a moment. Beat Jake Coughlin. Jake Coughlin going to a final in what was, I think, what his third race all season long. So there you go. Good job. Good job for the Elite Motorsports. Jake Coughlin getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feel bad it wasn't Drew Skillman, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk
you
about that in a moment.
Yep.
Funny car over in Funny Car 2 weeks ago, Tommy Johnson Jr. I think that's his second Wally. There goes DSR again. Yeah, they're trying to destroy John Force Racing. You got to know it. Beats out Del Worsham. Tommy Johnson Jr. winning that one. And in Top Fuel, J.R. Todd wins that one over Sean Langdon. Driving the knuckle sandwich there this week. We hadn't seen the knuckle sandwich in a couple of weeks. So there you go, Top Fuel. Now, what do the standings look like? It's getting interesting because right now, as I pointed out, we're only 2 weeks away from the countdown actually beginning, or a couple of weeks, we're two events away from the countdown actually beginning. Right now in Pro Stock, four drivers have, in fact, clinched the countdown. Greg Anderson, Erica Enders, Chris McGahey, and Jason Lyne. In that order, right now. There you go. That's it. Drew Skillman, number 10. God bless him. He's hanging in there. Drew Skillman is on the entry list for this week. That's good. Jake Coughlin is not. Glad to see it. As much as I'm a Jake Coughlin fan, I'm glad to see that Drew Skillman's on the list. Funny car. We've got two drivers who have, in fact, clinched the countdown. Matt Hagen and Jack Beckman. Of course, both DSR drivers. Tommy Johnson is number three. John Force is number four. He dropped as a result of Seattle. He dropped from third to fourth. Courtney right now is the big question mark as she sits 73 points out of number 10. And who's at number 10? Well, right now it's a tie between Alexis DeJuria and Robert Height. Both of them absolutely tied at 819 points. Courtney Force, 73 points out of number 10. So Brainerd's going to mean a lot. Top Fuel, Tony Schumacher and Antoine Brown both have clinched for the countdown. Clay Milliken, as I pointed out, sitting 11th, 103 points out of the number 10 spot. This is John Force's race. This is John, I don't mean John Force Racing, I mean John Force's. John Force has won Brainerd 12 times. He's a 17-time champion, and he has won a Wally at Brainerd 12 times.
That's
the guy
outstanding.
Is absolutely unbeatable. No one has ever won Brainerd, obviously, more than John Force. No one in NHRA right now running has won at any track as many times as this guy has won at Brainerd. Where's John Force? Where did John Force? Where is John Force right now qualifying so far as we've gone through Friday? How about number one on Funny Car?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That's what's happening. We got a fun weekend coming up. One more little sidebar. Unfortunately, here we are at Brainerd. We're only two events, as I point away, from the countdown. How many cars do we have qualifying? Do we have on the entry list qualifying in Pro Stock? Just 15. But as I pointed out, as I look down the list, Drew Skillman is on that list. Jay Coughlin is not.
Coughlin is not.
Correct.
They couldn't somehow get a backup car for
Elite right now is a two-car.
It's just
a two-car operation.
Okay,
yep.
Gotcha. So it's one or the other. It's either Skillman the rookie or it's Coughlin, and that's it.
They're doing the right thing. Getting Skillman behind the wheel is the right thing to do.
Yeah, like you said, you wanted to see him be able to. That would entitle him to Rookie of the Year if he could do it. Very cool. Good stuff. What do we have? Finals will be Sunday, probably evening. Frat House Mike, like we've seen in the.
Nine o'clock. 9 o'clock on ESPN2.
Right.
I already looked it up.
All right, there you go. Good looking out, Brandon. So that's where you can point your remote, folks. Sunday evening, ESPN 9 p.m. Check it out.
You don't want to watch that boring football game. That'll be in the second half, and who will give a damn?
Well, yeah. See, that's the thing. You'll be going up against NFL, but at this time of the year, you're not going up against anything compelling in the NFL, and you're absolutely right there. Absolutely right there.
Oh, you got the series premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, 9 o'clock.
You know that is such a violation. I'm not even talking to you anymore.
No. We got about 5 minutes to go here, and we've got to bring in our own sidekick to help us pick a winner here at Bristol. You know, I was just looking back at the last Bristol race. I mean, the last Bristol race, of course, it was a daytime. It wasn't an evening race, but my God, I mean, there was a lot of wrecks. And it was, you know, we talked about it earlier, smash-up derby. I'm sure hoping we're not going to have a smash-up derby this time. But there were like 26 cars involved in seven different wrecks the last time we all met together here at Bristol. Interestingly enough, Clint Bowyer wound up finishing 12th. And we mentioned it at the top of the show, or pretty close to the top of the show, Matt Kenseth got his fourth win at BMS back in April, and he had won the thing from the pole. So who do we like? Who do we like this week? Help us out, sidekick. Give us some fantasy advice, would you please?
To be the man, you got to beat the man, and I'm saying I'm the man. Woo!
All right. Interesting note. I looked back at the Bristol race. You'll never guess who was the top fantasy points earner for Bristol in the spring.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Oh, jeez.
How about How about Kyle Larson?
Kyle Larson sounds right. He led like 90 laps of it. No, he didn't. Right.
From a fantasy perspective, he was the big points guy.
How about that? Go ahead.
So, just, you know, thought I'd throw that out
there. Absolutely. No, I love that. We keep plugging away for this kid.
We're like, this kid's going to win one of these days.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? You're right about that.
All right. So, show team.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with the number four, the anchor, Kevin Harvick.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with the 18 of Kyle Busch.
Mm-hmm.
The number 20 of Matt Kenseth.
Mm-hmm.
The number 35 of Cole Witt. And the number 46 of Michael Annette.
Okay. Yep.
And we're going with, I didn't write down who. I think I went with Matt Kenseth.
All right, going with the 20 again. This is a good track for him, absolutely.
All right. And for the spring rubber, we're going with the number 4 of Kevin Harvick, the number 11, Denny Hamlin on the pole, the number 40, Landon Castle, the 19 of Carl Edwards, and the 13 of Casey Mears. And we're going with Denny Hamlin and Toyota on that team. And for Eat My Dust, I'm going with Denny Hamlin.
Going with the 11. All right, the 11 to win it
all. I had a feeling he was going there.
Yeah, the 11 to win it all.
Well, it was toss-up. I was thinking about rolling the dice with Kenseth again. So, but I decided I'll go with Denny this time. I'll show Denny a little love.
Love it. All right, who wants to volunteer next? Frat House Mike or Brandon? Who wants to go up next? Brandon, you ready?
Yeah, I'll do go real quick.
Go ahead.
My team's pretty simple. I got Truex Jr., yep. Harvick,
good.
Kyle
good.
Busch,
good.
Reagan, Ryan
uh-huh.
Blaney.
Good.
Like
okay.
what he does when he does
yeah,
run.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm doing something a little different. I'm picking a race winner and an Eat My Dust candidate who is not on my team because I can't find a way to get him on there. And
okay.
I think Kurt Busch is going to
oh,
be
cool.
your race winner, and he's
okay.
my dust pick with
so we're
Chevrolet
going 41.
The manufacturer.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to take 41. Gotcha. Yeah, good for you. I did that once this year myself, Brandon.
I never knew that you could actually pick someone to be the race winner who was not on your roster.
No, you can do that. You can choose
I did
any,
not know that.
On
I usually
NASCAR
don't
fantasy,
do it, but
yeah.
I couldn't get Kyle or Kurt Busch
right.
on without
wow.
popping somebody big.
Boy, am I a dummy.
I would lose a ton of money on, so I just kind
Jeez,
of...
Jeez, I've only been playing this for 4 years. I didn't...
No, you can do that. You can do that. You can choose any race winner, and it doesn't have to be part of your regular roster. And see, that's the only out you have as far as, like, because we're locked in. A lot of us are locked into certain drivers because their value has gone up, and you don't want to
yep.
drop them. So, but you might actually think, well, no, he may not... I don't have the winner on my... So, I get what Brandon did there, and I've done it myself at least once. All right, Frat House Mike, go ahead.
Why can't we just get
well,
in a running car?
I feel very, very, I feel very, very good about this Toyota team I got here. Again, a Toyota team.
It's all Toyotas.
I guess about
every week.
You do this to me every time.
We have
okay.
90 seconds. Here we go.
Yeah,
hurry
I got
up.
You. Kenseth. I'm going Kenseth. I'm going Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Martin
Man
Truex Jr.,
crush.
David Reagan, crush. And I'm going with Carl Edwards to win and eat my dust.
All right, he's taking the 19. He's taking the 19. Love it. Okay, well, I'll make it easy for you. Put me down for the 15 car. Why not? It's either going to be the 50. It's the 15 or the 55 this week. I'm convinced because both those drivers have been essentially told you can take your crap, pack it up, and put it outside over there. So I think both those guys are going to run like hell this weekend. So put me down for the 15. Maybe next week I'll play the 55. Okay, that's it, gang. I've been told we have 30 seconds to go. So thanks for joining us. We will not be back with you next week. We will actually return to you the following week, September 6th, on Sunday for our next broadcast of Racetrim Motorsports Hour. Until then, enjoy the racing. Thank you, everyone who has listened. Thank you, Russell, for calling in. Thank you to my regular panel. And, folks, kick the tires. Enjoy the racing. And until next time, bye-bye.